So this is the last Sunday that we're going to talk about one of the wonderful gifts of God, and we saved this one for last because it also all of them have been, but this one is particularly important because it's going to talk about prayer. So we will give some definition to prayer. We'll look at the scripture in a brief, unique kind of way, and then we're going to look at different aspects about prayer. So you may think, well, gosh, this is awful choppy. It seems like we're just jumping from thing to thing to thing. Well, the reason for that is because we are. That's why it's going to sound choppy, because that's exactly what we're doing. And then when we get to the very end, we'll talk about what to do when prayer doesn't work, which you know. Now, you already know that's not a true statement, right? Right. Okay. Here we go. Prayer is the action, the attitude in which we reach beyond ourselves to God. Now, the key word to that is beyond ourselves. So when I sit down to pray, it is the action and the attitude in my head in through which I reach out beyond myself. It is extending from my heart, reaching to God. So in prayer then, when one prays, they move beyond themselves. They leave Kip Younger and all the stuff about Kip Younger, and they take what's within me, concerns, anxieties, whatever it is, and I take it beyond myself, beyond me. I lift it up to God, so it goes beyond me. You can look at that physiologically, theologically, whatever, but get the picture that when prayers are voiced, it is an action and an attitude that allows us to go beyond ourselves. And when we go beyond ourselves, then we take the focus off of ourselves. We take the focus off of ourselves, because in that prayer, we're moving beyond ourselves. It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's a conversation. And dialogues are established and fulfilled in trust. And so when you have a dialogue with somebody, when you sit and talk to a friend, there is a certain trust relationship that's been established, or you're in the process of continuing to establish it, and you have certain trust in that person as you confide in them, as you share with them, as they confide in you. And the trust in the dialogue with God is that He can and will speak or act. That He can and will speak or act in whatever it is you're talking to Him about. So it's a dialogue with God in which you trust there's going to be a response. Hence, it's a dialogue and not a monologue. It's a praise petition, silent contemplation, earnestly expressed. Not flippantly expressed, not hurriedly expressed, earnestly expressed. It comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. So whatever it is, you've had a great day and you lay your little head on the pillow and you just want to thank God for the blessings of the day, that is praise coming earnestly from your heart. It's honest. It's earnest. It's you. It's not what someone taught you about prayer. It's not the key words about, not some formula you're going to repeat about prayer. It's just you earnestly talking from your heart. It's a basic faith exercise. So if you want to get strong in your faith, you pray. If you don't necessarily want to get strong in your faith, then you don't pray. Prayer builds faith. Why? Because prayer is the acknowledgement. Prayer is where I go. Prayer is where you go to someone we have faith in. And the more I share my heart with the one in whom I have faith in, the stronger my faith will grow. Because the more I share my heart, the more He responds to me in this dialogue and works in my life. The more He works in my life, the more my faith begins to grow in Him, that He'll actually work in my life. And He works in my life as a response to my conversations with Him. So it is a basic faith exercise. It's an act of worship. Hold on to the concept that the one who sits on the throne of grace is the creator of the world, the universe. He created you. He wired you. He established you as the way you are. He gave you his precious son to come and live and die for the penalties of my sin. His son gave me the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and try to keep me out of trouble on a day-to-day basis and give me the absolute affirmation that when I die, I'm going straight to the kingdom of heaven. That's who we talk to. That's who you talk to when you pray. Oh my gosh. That's an act of worship. That your God petitions and longs to hear your voice. And when you open your voice to your God, he receives it as an act of worship from your heart to his heart. And finally, it's something that's greatly misunderstood. If you talk to some folks about prayer and they say, well, you know, if you don't pray in tongues, it's not a real prayer. And if you don't do this, it's not a real prayer. And if you don't do this and this and this and say this, it's not a real prayer. Well, we're going to talk about some of that. Prayer can be greatly misconstrued and misunderstood. So understand that what I share with you today is my perception. If it doesn't float your boat, that's cool. It's just my perception. Here we go. Matthew 6, 5 to 8. We're just going to look at this for just a second because I wanted to find a piece of scripture in where Jesus was telling people something about prayer, but not just something, that he was telling people there are certain guidelines and parameters about prayer. So remember that he's speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to the Jews, hundreds and hundreds of Jews. In that grouping of Jews, there are Pharisees, scribes, teachers of the law, yes? And these are the big monkeys, the head monkeys, who have been teaching these people how they are to pray, yes? So Jesus is standing in front of them, and he knows that all the Pharisees, scribes, teachers of the law are listening as well, and he knows that the words he's about to speak cut right across the grain of everything these people have ever heard from the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law. So in his teaching, not just on prayer, but everything on the Sermon on the Mount, he's changing ancient cultures. He's changing ancient perspectives. He's giving the people an incredible blessing that they don't have to live under the burden of the law, that they have freedom. So you have to understand the context in which he's saying these words, because some of the folks in the crowd are getting really bent out of shape, and most of the folks in the crowd are just taking it in like, wow, really? Wow, seriously? Wow, this is so good. He gives them two warnings, and he gives them two directives. The first warning is, don't be hypocritical. When you pray, don't be hypocritical. And the specific that he mentions is, you know, y'all have seen these folks. Speaking of scribes, Pharisees, teachers of law, right? Keep it. You've seen these folks standing out on the street corners. You've seen these folks standing up in the synagogue just going on and on and on and on and on, hooting and hollering and praying and everything. He said, you know, they do that so they get the acclamations of the people they pray in front of. That's hypocritical. That's just hypocritical. Don't do that. Don't open yourself to God hypocritically because you just want the praise of the people who are hearing you. Don't do that. Make prayer a private dialogue. Just you and God. You and God. You just make it a private dialogue. You don't have to stand up in front of anybody and pray. Just you go and you pray and you talk to God. No babbling. A translation didn't use the word babbling, but another one does. Just going on and on and on and on and on and on. Kind of like sermons, you know, kind of like sermons, on and on and on and on. Why don't you just get to the point? But Jesus says, in prayer, not in sermons, no babbling. You don't need to try and talk God into something. It's not what it's about. You're just going to talk to God. Be focused. Talk from your heart. He closes that section out, the authors of Matthew, by saying to us one more time, God already knows. You're not telling God anything he doesn't know when you talk to him. He knew when he created the world that in 2013, you would be in church, and during the pastor's prayer or sometime during church, you would pray a particular prayer. He knew that a long, long time ago. And when you ask in that prayer this morning, whatever it is you may have asked for, he knew a long time ago you were going to ask for that. So no matter what it is you tell God in prayer, you are not going to surprise him. He already knows. So simply share with him from the heart. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm worried about. This is what keeps me up at night. This is what I'm concerned about. This is what my fears are. This is what I'm happy about. This is what I'm joyful about. Just be focused. Tell God what's on your heart. So why is it a gift of God? Why consider it a gift? Well, it's a gift because of all that it is. All that it is. If we go back to that very first slide and look at all the things that prayer is, just the fact that it is so many incredible things given to us by God to nurture our faith and our relationship with God makes it an incredible gift. That your God would love you so much that he would say to you, you know what? You need something. You want something. You come tell me. Now listen. God could have said, I really just don't care what you want. And I don't care what your needs are. I created you. You have a purpose to worship and honor me. And all the other stuff in your life, I really don't care about that. You just make sure you worship and honor me. He could have said that. So that when every time you talk to God, he would just turn a blind eye or a deaf ear. But that's not what he does. It's a gift because of all the things that it is. And he just calls us to come and share the gift with him. Come and talk. Come and talk. He is so hungry to come and hear what he already knows. But he wants to hear it from us. Every Sunday morning when I get in here, and I go through all this stuff, and I'm finally done. It's about 20 to 7, quarter to 7, whatever. I go right up into the choir loft, and I go to the top little thing up there in the choir loft and sit over in the corner, and I just sit down, and the sun has already come up, so I kind of see the sun coming up, and I can just sit there and talk to God. Just talk to God. Out loud. Me and God. Before everything starts on a Sunday morning, me and God are going to talk about it. And I can tell him everything. I can tell him stuff that's got nothing to do with church. Things I'm worried about. Things I'm anxious about. Things that concern me. Things that bring me great joy. I can pray for you. I can tell him about you. I can ask him to be sure to wake you up and put a hunger in your heart to come pray to him and worship him on this Sunday morning. I can ask him to waken his people of this church and put such a burden on their hearts that nothing would keep them from coming to church today. Just to be with him in worship with one another. And I just talk to him out loud. Just telling him, this is where we're at, man. This is what it's like. In those moments, it's as if Jesus is just sitting right next to me on that top pew. And we're just kind of sitting there with our arms on the pew, talking to one another. And I just tell him. He already knows what I'm going to tell him. But it's good for me to voice it, to give it a voice. This is what I'm afraid of. This is what concerns me. This is what I'm anxious about. And the more I talk to him, the answer comes. The answer comes about what I'm concerned about. The answer comes whatever I'm scared over. The answer comes to something going on in my life. The answer is spoken out. Because his Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he allows me to speak the answer out. So if I'm arguing with God about whatever, and we do argue, because one of us is hard-headed and obstinate, so we have a lot of things to talk about, and we do argue about things, eventually in that argument will come the words that are his side of the argument and just shut mine right down. All right. That's what you say. It just comes out. And that's why I think, take it for what it's worth, that's why I think you pray out loud. text said, go in your room, close the door, and just talk out loud to God. There's something different about voicing it, where you can hear it, than thinking it. Because when you think it, you can't hear it. But when you voice it, you can hear how ludicrous it is, how goofy that thought really is when you put it to a voice. It's as if someone else is coming to say to you, hey, I'm thinking about this. And you can sit there and say, whoa, really? What's wrong with you? Why would you think that? When you put voice to it, you can hear it. And you hear it differently than when you think about it. It's a gift because it affirms our faith in the one in whom we speak to. Why would you speak to someone you have no faith in? Why would you speak to someone you have no faith in and pray to someone you have no faith in? So it affirms our faith in the one that we talk to. It affirms our faith. And it's a gift because it's an act of obedience which changes our focus. Jesus calls us to pray. The Father says, pray. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts about pray, 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 pray. And we're going to look at Paul's writing in a little while, and he's going to tell you what? Pray, pray. It's all about pray, pray, pray. Why? Because that's what God calls us to do. So when we sit and we talk to God, it's a form of obedience, and it changes the focus. Because when I talk things out with God, I begin to hear God's perspective. I begin to understand God's perspective, and it changes my focus on what I want to talk to God about. Pretty soon, I'm seeing and hearing it from God's perspective, and my focus begins to change. Why do we pray in His name? Why do we pray in Jesus' name for? Why don't we pray in the Holy Spirit's name? Why don't we pray in the Father's name? Why are we praying in His name? Because it appears as though Scripture seems to say we should. John 14:13-14. Jesus speaking. I will do whatever you ask in my name. Now, there's a caveat to that that he doesn't seem to mention here. As long as it's in the will of the Father for your life. So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So listen, you pray something in accordance to the will of the Father for your life, and I will do it because when I do what you ask me to do that's within the will of God for you, I, Jesus, glorify the Father. How? By hearing and answering your prayer. The Father responds. I glorify the Father now. So you can ask me anything in my name, as long as it's in the will of the Father for your life. And baby, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Because that's how I glorify the Father. And that's how your lives realize the fullness of the glorification of God in your life. You pray, you ask, in my name, I do it. The Father's glorified, and you are glorified in my name. So we pray in the authority of Jesus' name. Listen, if we ended our prayers in our own name, pray, 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 in the name of Kip Younger, woohoo! What's that going to get me? A wahoo? And that's about the size of it. It ain't going to get me much. Because I got no authority. I got no authority to come before God. Only Jesus does. Holy Spirit. So I pray in His name. You pray in His name. Because we have the authority of Christ to do that. How does one pray? What format do we follow? I want to show you two. During the pastor's prayer, I tried to follow this, and I don't know if you heard it or not. And I didn't want to tell you, because I didn't want you thinking about that. Disciples hanging out, Jesus say, teach us how to pray. Jesus says, hey, okay, here's how you pray. You pray this way. And he gives us his prayer. And so we pray his prayer, or we're blessed enough to have these gentlemen come and beautifully sing it for us, for heaven's sakes. And that's a prayer. But it's also a model of prayer. It's a format of prayer. So if you just take a look at it, you say, okay, well, what's he saying? He's saying, first thing is acknowledge God's role and place in your life. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Acknowledge God's role and God's place in your life. Seek God's will for your life. Request your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And request your needs. Ask your sins to be forgiven and pray that he will forgive you and protect you against the one who tempts you. It's a format of how to pray. And it covers a lot of bases. And you've seen the Acts thing. Begin your prayer with adoration. Confess your sins. Give thanksgiving. And then make supplication to God for the needs of your life. And there's just two. But you can see they share a sense of uniformity together. There's some very common things that they share with one another. Some very common things. And I'm thinking that's a good thing to do. That these are the places, these are the things we need to think about in our prayers. For me, not necessarily for you, but for me, prayer is very, 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 very informal. Informal. It's informal. Because I'm not a formal type of person. I'm just very informal. And it's going to be starting with the recognition of who God is in my life. And to acknowledge who God is. It has to come from my heart. If it's coming from my head, I might as well just shut up and go get something to drink or something to eat. Because you know what? If it's coming from my head, it's all about me. It has to come from what's in my heart. So whatever I'm anxious about, that's what I need to talk to God about. Whatever I'm happy about, that's what I need to talk to God about. It has to come out of my heart. It has to be presented in a sense of humility. If it's presented in arrogance, then it's all about me. And so it has to be humble. It has to come with humility. Father, I'm just before you. You're on the throne, and I'm just before you. I'm just, you know, one of 10 gazillion people. And I acknowledge that, and I'm just so stinking thankful that you even listen to me. I'm just so thankful you listen. So it has to come with humility. It has to be honest. What's in your heart? We can play the games. We can play all the word games, you know. But sometimes there's not a lot of honesty in those word games. And if I can't be honest with someone who already knows the truth, well, what the heck am I thinking? Because nothing I say is going to be a surprise to him. So I've got to be honest. And don't you see that it's in the honesty then that I can, speaking out loud, it's in the honesty that I hear it. I hear it. It's in the honest expression of what's in my heart that I can now hear it. And when I hear honestly what's in my heart, it can shock me. It can shame me. It can embarrass me. It can make me feel good, if it's a good thing. But I need to be able to voice it, to hear it, and to say it honestly. So if I'm mad at God because of whatever, then I need to be able to say, you know what? Really not happy with the way things are going between you and me. I got to be honest with you. I don't think you're holding up your end of the deal here. You know what I'm saying? This is what I feel like. And I don't understand it. I've done this, 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 and this. Because I expected this, this, and this. And I got nothing back from you. So what's your problem? What are you doing? And the more I can tell him and share with him honestly what's perturbing me and eating me alive, I hear it. And I can hear the honesty of if it's legitimate or if it's just stupid, if it's just Kip Younger. So I have to be honest. I have to be honest. And I have to listen. Because if I do all the talking, what am I going to hear? A conversation, a dialogue means I talk and listen, and it has to be conversational. If you go visit a friend and talk to them and they don't get a word in edgewise, next time you show up, what are they going to do? They're not going to answer the phone. And they're not going to answer the door. Why? Because you just do all the talking. They don't ever get to say anything. And that's no fun. Let's be conversational. Pray the scriptures. I had a seminary professor who was actually Christian, and he taught our class to pray the scriptures. And I'll put two of them up here. Obviously, Lord's Prayer and Psalm, the middle part of Psalm 51. And so you would pray the scriptures like this. We'll do Psalm 51. So the words you see are the words of Psalm 51 broken down in phrases. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me, and restore the joy of salvation. That's the actual Psalm 51. And so if I was going to pray that scripture, I would read those verses and stop and then just pray from my heart what that verse just said to me. Just don't read it flippantly and close the book. And so I would say, I would read, create in me a clean heart, O God. And then I would just talk to God, because you know my heart is far from being clean. You know my heart is filled with stuff that's unholy and unrighteous before you. And so, Father, I got to have a clean heart. I cannot serve you and honor you with a heart that is not clean. So, Father, for God's sakes, please give me a clean heart. Put a new and right spirit within me, because you know my spirit is weak. You know my spirit is vulnerable. So I need your spirit to speak to my spirit and give me a new spirit. Give strength to me in my spirit, God, because without it, I got nothing. Cast me not away from your presence, because you know, without you, I've got nothing. I got to stand right here with you. Wherever I'm at, I need to know your spirit is with me. Absolutely. Never leave me. Never forsake me. You're always, always, always with me. Don't ever leave me. And for God's sakes, don't take your spirit from me, because without your spirit, I'm nothing. And for heaven's sakes, let me return to the joy of your salvation. Let me go back to that day in Leesburg at the men's retreat when I came to my knees and I asked you to be my Lord and Savior. And I could feel the building tremble and I had a sense of joy in my life I've never had before. Take me back to the joy of your salvation now, God, now. Praying the scriptures. Praying the scriptures. You read it and you talk from your heart what it means to you. What do we do when prayer doesn't work? Doesn't work is in quotations, yes? Five things. No, God always hears your prayers. Revelation 8:4. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God as he was on the throne from the hands of his angels. So every time you pray, every time you think, every time you say a word in prayer, according to Revelation, it is mixed with the beauty of the incense. And it comes before the throne of God. He hears every single prayer you utter. If it's just a thought, if it's a word, he hears it, he hears it, he hears it, he hears it. Don't ever doubt he doesn't hear your prayer. You've been praying for something for years. You say, oh, I wish you'd just listen to me. He's been listening to you for years. His thoughts and his ways are not your thought and way. You say, God, listen, you know, I need this fixed like this. This is what I want you to do. I want you to do this, 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 and this. And he's up there thinking, I can do that, that, and that. But it's not the right thing. I'm going to deal with that this way. Because my thoughts, I don't think about that like you think about it. I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to do it the right way. And so I'm going to do it this way. And it may be 20 years before I see the result of that. But it'll be done his way. Are my prayers within the will of God? 1 John. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we can ask anything according to his will and he hears. So if I'm praying to win the lotto today, you might as well forget that. Give the church the lotto money. We'll take it, and the blessings are in return for you. It'll be greater than anything you could ever imagine. So if you're asking to win the lotto, you're wasting your breath. But if you're asking for someone to be healed, if you're asking for your own healing, if you're asking for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, if you're asking for the Holy Spirit to do some kind of work in your life that honors the Father and glorifies Jesus Christ, then ask it, ask it, ask it, ask it, ask it. Because he's going to hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. Wait patiently. Oh. No one wants to wait patiently. Because if I ask about this, you know what I think it should be taken care of? The minute those words are out of my mouth. Psalm 40, we talked about last week. Psalmist says, I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and then I waited some more, and I waited patiently for the Lord. And eventually, he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of my slimy pit, out of the muck and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Now listen, here's what that means. That means I've been praying, I've been praying, I've been praying, I've been praying, I've been praying. I've been honest as I can be. I think it's in the will of God. I'm not too sure, but I think it is. And I've been praying, and you know what happened? He finally took me and put me on a solid foundation. That's what that last little part is saying. He put me on a solid foundation in this event, whatever this event is. He put me on a firm foundation concerning that event. I'm not stuck in it. I'm not in the miry mud. I'm standing firm, assured, convicted of my faith that I'm going to be okay. because he heard my prayer. And I waited on him, and peace came. Persevere with expectation. It's a lot like patience, isn't it? Do not be anxious about anything, Paul says. But what about this? Don't be anxious about it. Yeah, but you don't understand. This is serious. Don't be anxious about it. How can I not be anxious about it? Because this is pretty serious stuff. And Paul says, don't be anxious about that. Try this. By prayer, talk to God. Petition, ask. With thanksgiving, not thanksgiving for that, but thanksgiving that God hears my prayers. Thanksgiving that God loves me. Thanksgiving that I am one of the most precious things in the sight of God. With thanksgiving for who God is in my life. With thanksgiving, tell God. And when I tell God, suddenly the peace of Christ comes upon my heart. And this isn't such a big deal anymore. It's still serious and it's still important. But that edge in my heart over it has been knocked down a little bit. I can take a deep breath. I can say, okay, you know what? I gave this to God. He can deal with it. And he will. 1 Thessalonians, not only does it say not be anxious, he says what? Be joyful. Be joyful. You can be joyful. Filled with joy. You can be joyful. Here's how. Pray all the time. Give thanks in every circumstance, even that one, for this is God's will for you when you are in Jesus Christ. So you can be joyful. So you see a Christian who's moody and pouty and mean-spirited and ugly, that's an oxymoron. They are to be joyful. Even with this. Because they've given this to God, they're not anxious about it. It is a call of God to give this to them. And they can be joyful because they know somehow God's going to do something with it. They don't know what, but they know he is. And so they have a sense of joy in their relationship with God because they have peace over that. There's one more thing. One more thing that prayer is. Prayer is the blood of faith. Old Testament, the reason they whacked up all those animals and threw their blood all over the place was because they knew that in the blood of those animals, it was their life. You take the blood out of the goat, what's the goat going to do? Fall over. On the cross, he shed his blood for our new lives. Life is in the blood. Prayer is the blood of our faith. It is the blood. It is the life of our faith. One last thought, and we stop. The most significant prayer you ever prayed, if you've prayed this, the most significant prayer you ever prayed is when you or I was a pagan, a non-believer. The most significant prayer I ever prayed was when I was just an unbeliever and a pagan. And that prayer was that Jesus Christ would come into my heart and save my soul. I prayed it as a pagan. I prayed it as an unbeliever. I prayed it as someone without Christ. God heard that prayer. What does that tell us? He hears every prayer from every single person, regardless of where they are in relationship to him. He hears them all. And when that prayer is uttered out of the heart, who is a tentative, new, curious, doubtful, want-to-be believer, he hears it, and immediately you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the forgiveness of your sin. Your life changed because you were suddenly in Christ. Because of a prayer you prayed as an unbeliever, you suddenly became in Christ. You are a new creation. All the old will begin to leave. All the new will start to come in because you or I prayed a prayer as an unbeliever, and your God heard that prayer and touched your life. That's why it's such a special gift. He's always heard your prayers. He'll always hear your prayers. He'll always hear them. Pray with me. We love you so much. Oh, we don't always understand you very well, but we do love you. And we ask for the power and the encouragement to be with you all the time in prayer, that we would talk to you constantly in the car, in the store, at home, at work, anywhere. We would always talk to you as our days go on and the hours and the minutes of the day pass, that we talk to you about each and everything that takes place, that you would be just that close to us, and we would have the ability to confide in you in those deep, dark, secret things. We could trust you with everything that's in our hearts. We ask it in the powerful name of Christ. Amen.